Many people with disabilities would like to go to church on Sundays, but often they can't. Someone in a wheelchair may not be able to get up the steps. The elderly sometimes simply can't hear what's going on. The Americans with Disabilities Act says public places like stores, restaurants, and hotels have an obligation to be accessible to people with all kinds of disabilities, but the law does not apply to a religious sanctuary. Still, many congregations feel it's their duty to become inclusive. NPR's Joseph Shapiro reports.
It's a Thursday night, time for choir practice at St. Dominic's Catholic Church, just a few blocks from the museums and the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Fading sunlight comes through the stained glass windows in the dark sanctuary of tall Gothic arches. Members of the choir set up at the front of the church, including Mark Sackley. He says singing is something he can give back to this church.
I feel that we each need to give of ourselves from the gift bank that we're all given. I can sing. For me, singing is a gift to God.
When Sackley started singing here, this was not his local parish church, but he came here because he could get his wheelchair through the door. And St. Dominic's made changes so that Sackley in his wheelchair could fully participate in church life, like moving the choir down from the choir loft, which was up a narrow flight of stairs. That allowed Sackley to join the choir, but it also helped another singer who was afraid of heights. Tonight, Sackley's friend Ginny Thornburg is watching choir practice and listens as he sings. Thornburg teaches congregations across America how to be like St. Dominic's and do things to welcome people with disabilities.
The bottom line is the house of God should welcome everyone. But for many people with disabilities, it has not been so, which is very sad.
Thornburg started the Religion and Disability Program at the nearby National Organization on Disability. For the past 15 years, she's traveled the country, visiting hundreds of churches, synagogues, and mosques, and shown them how to do simple things like moving choir lofts or printing large-type programs, as well as harder and more costly ones like rebuilding a bathroom or adding an elevator or wheelchair lift. Thornburg likes the things she sees at St. Dominic's. Before choir practice, she and Sackley point them out. Simple things that blend in, you don't even notice them at first, like two pews that are shorter than the others. That allows someone like Sackley to sit in his wheelchair at the end of the row when he's not singing with the choir, so he can sit with the congregation instead of sticking out way in the back or off to the side. Other accommodations help people with more minor and less obvious disabilities, including a lot of older people who might use canes and walkers. Sackley points out to Thornburg a thin iron rail that runs up the steps to the altar.
We have put in a handrail there.
Many of us are just older or slightly infirm, and a railing is such a gift. Watch this.
Thornburg walks over to the steps to try out the railing.
See, I, as an older woman, can hold on to it and walk carefully on these marble steps and feel very secure.
Thornburg says simple things like this railing can mean the difference between including or excluding someone with a disability. People, she says, like Sackley, who deeply want to take part in spiritual life.
Mark, are you comfortable talking about how important faith has been as you journeyed with disability? Because you've shared that with me, and that's moved me so much.
God has a very important part in my life. I became disabled as a result of a car accident in 1974. I, at first, spent a lot of time praying for the miracle of being able to walk again. After some months, when that didn't happen, and some reflection, I came to the understanding that, for me, I did get my miracle, but the miracle was one of acceptance of my disability, and of realizing that I still was the same person, that I still was there, I still was alive, and I still had a chance to live a full life.
Faith has been central to that full life. He's come here on this evening from his job as a policy analyst at the Justice Department. He travels around the country for work, and he's engaged to be married. Thornburg's understanding came from another source, from a son.
My third son is Peter, and he has the disability of mental retardation. I'm not very proud to tell this story, but years ago when he was a child, I used to get a sitter for Peter when my husband and I took our older sons to church and to Sunday school. And now that it's so long after that, I think, well, I wonder what Peter thought about this place that we all went to. We would get dressed up and we would come back with art projects and maybe some donut powder on our outfits. And we'd come back and he'd be at home.
Back then, families often hid their disabled kids. And besides, Thornburg's church did not have a Sunday school class for disabled children. One day, Thornburg started looking at things differently.
It happened when I gave birth to a fourth son. And the church all of a sudden rallied and said, when are you bringing that fourth son to church? We have a nursery, and we have new mattresses in the nursery, and we're so looking forward to seeing that baby. And that was a defining moment in my life, when the church had clearly welcomed my husband and me, our two older sons, and the baby, and no one had mentioned my son Peter's name. And I was a changed woman that day.
That's when Thornburg became an activist. She called a meeting with her pastor and got him to set up a Sunday school class for disabled children. Eventually, Thornburg launched her national campaign to include the disabled. As for Peter, he's 44. He lives in a supervised apartment in Pennsylvania, and he's active in his Methodist church. One Sunday, Thornburg talked to her son after he'd just come back from church.
And Peter said all of a sudden, "They know my name. They know my name." And what he was saying was the people of his congregation know him and they greet him in affirmation and love. They don't rush by. They don't ignore him. They know my name. And what a simple thing that is in our faith communities, to know each other's names, to honor each other, and to learn to know what it is that the other person needs.
Last year, Thornburg was honored for her work. She won the $50,000 Henry B. Betts Award. It goes each year to someone who's advanced the life of disabled people. It was a prize she shared with her husband, Richard Thornburg. He was Attorney General under the first President Bush, and he pushed for passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act. When it was time to present the Thornburgs with their award, they were introduced by a tall, good-looking man in a suit, white shirt, and tie.
My name is Peter Thornburg.
With his mother and father whispering encouragement in his ear and gently prodding him when he stumbled over a word, Peter described how he works hard at his job at the food bank, and he listed some of the things he likes to do.
Go places, go watch Wheel of Fortune, see my family, go to church. Here is my mom. Here is my dad. Thank you.
Back at St. Dominic's, choir practice continues. In her work at the National Organization on Disability, Ginny Thornburg asked congregations to pledge to become accessible. More than 2,000 have now made that commitment. But Thornburg knows that's still a tiny number of the more than 400,000 congregations across the country. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
You can see a photo of Ginny Thornburg and learn more about efforts on behalf of the disabled at our website, npr.org.